భాష్వరానంద స్వామిని చిదామనే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రసాదనే నృత శ్రీ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిజానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివశ్రీ గౌరవార్థవృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ రామ హరే హరే ప్రే ఫ్రమ్ కెనల్ సిక్ శివం చాప్టర్ 3 వర్స్ 30
నారాయణ స్వపురుషాయ యద్ సత్కృతం న స్వానాం అహో న విదుషాం రచితాన్ శ్రీనాం నమః పురుషాయ భూమ్నే దక్షామ్యథాం స భగవాన్ పురుష ప్రాణో నారాయణ స పురుషాయ రసప్రసన్న స్వానామహో న విదుషాం రక్షితాన్ శాంతిర్గరీయసి నమః పురుషాయ భూమ్నే
excused. Sa, He, Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purusha, Supreme Person, Purana, Oldest, Narayana, Lord Narayana, Sapurusha, by my own servants, Yat, which, Asat, impudence, Kritam, performed, Na, of us, Swanam, of my own men, Aho, alas, Vidusham, not knowing, Prachitanjalinam, holding our hands together, Shanti, forgiveness, Gariyasi, in the glorious, Namaha, respectful, obeisances, Purushaya, unto the person, Omne, supreme. Translation, then Yamaraj, considering himself and servants to be offenders, spoke as follows, begging pardon from the Lord. O my Lord, my servants have surely committed a great offense by arresting a Vaishnava such as Ajamil. O Narayan, O supreme and oldest person, please forgive us. Because of our ignorance, we failed to recognize Ajamil as a servant of your lordship, and thus we have certainly committed a great offense. Therefore, with folded hands, we beg your pardon, my Lord. Lord. Since you are supremely merciful and always full of good qualities, please pardon us. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. For part, Lord Yamaraj took upon himself the responsibility for the offense committed by his servants. If the servant of an establishment makes a mistake, the staff can take responsibility for it. Although Yamaraj was above offenses, his servants practically, with his permission, went to arrest Hajjamil, which was a great offense. The Nyaya Shastra confirms, Brityaparade Swami no danda. If a servant makes a mistake, a master is punishable because he is responsible for the offense. Taking this seriously, Yamaraj, along with his servants, prayed with folded hands to be excused for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana. Verse 31, Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement was the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. Purport, we should note that although Ajamil chanted the name of Narayana imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. One should not conclude that one may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be careful to be free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activity by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful acts. Text 32, one who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such perfect purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Purport, one may very easily practice chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and thus become ecstatic in spiritual life. Padma Purana states, Nama Parada Yuktanam Naman Eva Harachagam Avisranti Prayuktani Tan E Parta Karanicha. Even if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offensively, one can avoid offenses by continually chanting without deviation. One who becomes accustomed to this practice will always remain in a pure transcendental position, untouched by sinful reactions. Sukadeva Goswami especially requested King Parikshit to note this fact very carefully. There is no profit, however, in executing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. By performing such activities, one may go to the higher planetary systems, but as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Kshine Punya Marcha Lokam Vishanti, when the period of one's enjoyment in the heavenly planets is terminated because of the limited extent of the results of one's pious activities, one must return to Earth. Thus, there is no use in endeavoring to travel up and down in the universe. It is better to chant the holy name of the Lord so that one may become fully purified and eligible to return home back to Godhead. That is the aim of life, and that is the perfection of life. O my Lord, my servants have surely committed a great offense by arresting a Vaishnava such as Ajamil, O Narayan, O Supreme and Oldest Person, please forgive us. Because of our ignorance, we fail to recognize Ajamil as a servant of your Lordship, and thus we have certainly committed a great offense. Therefore, with folded hands, we beg your pardon. My Lord, since you are supremely merciful and are always full of good qualities, please pardon us. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. One who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One can achieve such purification merely by observing. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. So, Yamaraj here asks forgiveness for himself and his servants. So technically, it was his servants that committed the mistake. Then Sukadev here glorifies Sankirtan of Vishnu's name. As being the most auspicious thing in the material universe, which can destroy all sins. And then he goes on to say that this produces ultimately bhakti. And other processes cannot purify one to this extent. So we have two things. One is that chanting the name is the best process of atonement. That is of canceling out sinful reactions. Why? Because not only the reactions are canceled out, which karma yoga can also do, but as well the desire and the ignorance behind it, which is the cause of bondage in the material world, that's all wiped out by the process of bhakti. Now, jnana technically can also do this. Jnana can wipe out desire, and even yoga. They both attempt to control the mind and the senses, etc., and destroy desires and all that. Ultimately, destroy karma and get one up to liberation. So yes, they can also destroy ignorance and desires, the pop bija. But one difference is that these processes take a long time. Whereas, in the case of Achamil, it happened instantaneously when he named his son Narayana. He got all of his sins removed immediately. So, the effect of bhakti is much more, and especially chanting the name, is much more than these other processes. Therefore, here Sukadeva Goswami says that other processes, such as ratas, etc., do not purify to the same extent as bhakti. So that is one fact, purification from sins, desires, and ultimately ahankar, ignorance. So bhakti is the best process of doing that. Though yoga and jnana also can be successful with the assistance of bhakti if they're done properly, and then one can get liberation. So bhakti is superior for doing this, but as I said before, this is not the goal of bhakti. So though this is there, Sukadeva Goswami also says that it produces bhakti, that through this one will produce bhakti. So this is some other effect of the name. So one, the name destroys simple reactions, and two, it produces bhakti. So of course, chanting the name itself is bhakti. But as in the case of Ajumil, he didn't do it with faith. So technically we can say it's not real bhakti. In the case of someone like Kamsa chanting the name of Krishna, or go and kill Krishna, it's not bhakti also. Though he chants the name of Krishna. So, operatis, we don't call that when they do some chanting of the name of the Lord, we don't call that bhakti. And even when it's done neutrally, as in the case of Ajumil, without offense, but also with not devotion, we don't really call it bhakti. So bhakti, according to definition, means it is done anukulina. It is done with favorable attitude, with the intention of pleasing the Lord. Then it is called bhakti. And so the acts may be the same, the chanting of the name be there in any case, but the intention is different in bhakti. It is not hostile, and it is not simply neutral. So therefore, that is why we don't really classify Achamil as a devotee when he first named his son Narayan or whatever. On the other hand, we see that Yamaraj said, Achamil is a great devotee. So this is to show that the power of the chanting of the name and of bhakti itself, that it can include this. Technically it doesn't, but the effects of bhakti spread to even this unconscious chanting. So what happens in the case of aparad? So in the case of aparad, it says if you constantly chant, then the effect will come and one can become purified. In the case of Ajumil, he didn't even have to constantly chant. He just chanted once the name and he was purified. So with aparad, it takes longer time. And so that is the case of someone like Shishupal. He chanted and chanted and chanted. Eventually he became purified. And then the Lord killed him and he got prema. So it takes longer in the case of the aparadis. Nevertheless, the effect can be there. That's for the operatis. But it is not advised that people intentionally do this, of course, because that's a very, very slow process. Nor is it advised that one simply wait for accidental chanting of the name of the Lord. That's also generally a slow process for the development of bhakti. So, when these slow processes happen and a person becomes purified, either through the operati gradually becoming purified, or the namabhas person like Ajamil becoming purified by chanting once, still, how does one get bhakti? Someone can chant, but this does not guarantee one comes to the level of bhakti. Ultimately. So the real process would be that one would somehow get the association of devotees and then partake of bhakti. Of course, from the stage of Ajamil, if he chanted and whatever like that with no offense, then eventually he could develop some sort of bhakti with mixture in it. Another abhas, bhakti abhas. So in other words, he could develop some faith, but with some sort of a boss, because he's ignorant. So he's chanting the name of the Lord, and he develops some sort of inclination towards the Lord, but he has all sorts of misconceptions or whatever. So it would be some bhakti abhas or nama abhas. So to get from that stage to the pure stage, then it is necessary to get the association of devotees and get proper knowledge. So we have the aparadi and the extreme end, and we have the namabhas without faith, like in Ajamil's case. Then gradually one can come to the namabhas with faith. And then somewhere one needs the association of devotees, and then one can come to Sudanam, the Sudabhakti. So when one comes to Sudabhakti, then one can advance very nicely and achieve prema. But without coming to the Sudabhakti, one cannot go through the stages of Nishtaruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Premana. There's none. It won't happen in that way. Instead, one will get up to liberation, something like that. And one could come up to Salokya, Sarsti, Samipya, these things. But not Prema. So therefore, it's always advised that one should get the mercy of the devotees of the Lord. And in this way, one can actually develop pure bhakti and get the real result. So, though bhakti may develop by these processes, it actually depends on the mercy of devotees and devotee association in order to get the bhakti which will produce prema. So that is the final conclusion of the scriptures. Here Sukadeva Goswami says, therefore the other processes do not give this same result. So as I said, yes, karma just doesn't give really, it just gets rid of the effects of your karmas, doesn't necessarily stop your karmas. If we do jnana and yoga, yes, we can stop the karmas eventually and you can get liberation. But that liberation also depends upon bhakti, ultimately. And so if you don't do the bhakti, you don't get that liberation even. So you cannot get real ultimate purification even with these other processes. They are dependent upon bhakti for giving that liberation, for getting complete destruction of the karmas and the ignorance, etc. So ultimately, bhakti is the process for purification. In the process of bhakti, then we have chanting of the name as the Yuga Dharma. So that is what is glorified here. Ajamil chanted the name of Narayana. In the case of Lord Chaitanya, he told us to chant the name of Krishna. So that is even more glorious because Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. So whatever is in Narayana is 3,000 times more effective in the name of Krishna. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya has given very special blessings to the people of Kali Yuga to chant the name of Krishna. So this is not only the name of Krishna, but because Lord Chaitanya comes as plays the role of Radha to experience her bhava, he gives mercy to all the jivas to attain realization of the love of Radha and Krishna through the chanting of Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya gives something very, very special in the chanting of the holy name. It is not simply he delivers name, but he actually delivers the highest rasas of Krishna in the spiritual world. Well, that is why he's called the most merciful. I don't know, it's never mentioned there. It's in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was written previously. So maybe because it was written there previously, he doesn't bother. Yeah, I don't know. There's no explanation for that given. But that, of course, is written by Krishna's Kaviraj, so we would have to ask him why he didn't mention it there. Whereas Vrindavan Das Thakur does mention it in his work, so, which is written previously. That's true. Generally, he just summarizes it. He'll just say that Vrindavan Das Thakur, his work is described this, so I'll just describe this in brief or that in brief, so he doesn't cover what is covered there in detail. He just goes over as an outline.
How is
the
holy name the source of it? How does it really happen? Just by chanting the name of the Lord?
That is a special mercy of the name. The name is Chintamani. Nama Chintamani Krishna. So it is non-different from Krishna. So whatever is in Krishna is also in the name, and it can be revealed through the name.
Because personally, we're not using any language. For example, when we are praying to the Lord, there is a particular meaning.
Yeah. So this is a simpler process than that. Yes, we have mantras and prayers and stotras and everything. So that is one way of glorifying the Lord. It's also a type of, you know, kirtan of sorts. But this is the simplest possible way. People that don't know Sanskrit, people that don't know anything, they can just say the name and they can still get best benefit. Okay? So because the name is also in these other things, there's benefit for them, people also. So for instance, Gajendra chanted prayers to the Lord and he got benefit from that also. So there's no problem with that. But this is actually the easiest way of doing it, simply the name itself, without anything else. One can do, but then the thing is that because this is directly Krishna, whereas those are indirect, and they don't mention Krishna's name directly, then they're less effective. Well, no one doesn't say that anywhere, that it's only for the less intelligent, for the people in general. Yeah? So that means everybody. Yuga means everybody, not just unintelligent people. And everyone in Kali Yuga is unintelligent anyway, so everybody's Sudra in Kali Yuga, so then how can anyone claim to be intelligent? Huh? It depends on what you chant in the Vedas and with what attitude. If you chant karmic under section, you don't get bhakti. Definitely not. I've heard that story, but I don't know if there's any scriptural, I don't see any scriptural evidence of that. I've heard that story, but I haven't seen any. Yeah, that is where it's found in like the Kali Santana Upanishad is in that form, and in other Puranas also is in that form. Oh, that will take place in bhava stage, rupa, guna, and lila will take place in bhava stage and prema stage. Those karmas which you've committed, if you have a particular atonement according to scripture, that'll destroy that particular karma.
Yeah.